Asia trade under Joe Biden. It's Friday, December 25th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. As we look back at some of the stories from 2020, find us online at VOA Asia, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the U.S. approach to Taiwan, a tech shift, the year of COVID, mechanical birds, and remembering some who left us in 2020. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Under the Trump administration, the United States has focused on bilateral trade relations and withdrawn from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a multilateral trade agreement promoted by the Obama administration to counter China's influence in the Asia-Pacific region. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara looks at the regional trade challenges for President-elect Joe Biden, who has vowed to return to multilateralism and work with allies to rewrite the rules of international trade.
In November, 15 Asian Pacific countries signed the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. RCEP is the world's biggest free trade deal, with members accounting for 28% of global GDP and 2.2 billion people. The United States is not part of RCEP, widely seen as a Beijing-backed alternative to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a regional trade deal proposed by the Obama administration that excluded China. 12 countries signed the TPP in 2016 before President Donald Trump withdrew from it in 2017.
They won't totally determine all trade or anything like that, but those agreements will create certain features that will probably be potentially very commercially significant for how businesses trade cross borders.
President-elect Joe Biden has pledged not to enter trade agreements until the U.S. makes investments in its workers and infrastructure. But he has signaled he will work with allies on trade,
so that we can set the rules of the road instead of having China and others dictate outcomes because they are the only game in town.
Biden's multilateral approach would be a departure from the outgoing president, who prefers bilateral negotiations in line with his America First trade agenda. In 2018, Trump signed a revised free trade agreement with South Korea and a limited trade deal with Japan in 2019. But the centerpiece of his trade policy is the tariff war with China.
We have 25% on $250 billion worth of goods. And then we're bringing the 10% down to 7.5% on $300 billion worth of goods plus.
Trump has also targeted Chinese tech firms, including Huawei, saying the phone producer will spy for Beijing. He has succeeded in convincing Britain and several other small European countries to exclude Huawei from their next generation 5G networks. But Trump's moves have not lowered the overall U.S. trade deficit with China, which has grown during the pandemic after falling in 2019.
I think it's questionable how effective this tough has been when there hasn't been a clear way forward.
The U.S. and China signed a phase one trade deal in January, with Beijing agreeing to ramp up purchase on American goods and services, including an additional $36.5 billion of agricultural products. China is unlikely to meet this year's target. With the COVID-19 crisis in his early months, Biden will likely focus on immediate measures, including vaccine distribution and economic recovery. But the strained U.S.-China relationship is expected to continue.
The relationship is going to get increasingly competitive, irrespective of who's leading both countries. The question is whether the leadership at the top can exercise some control over historical events and can behave reasonably and pragmatically.
Any moves by Biden to ease the tariffs would face significant congressional opposition, especially since there is a bipartisan consensus over a tougher approach to contain the rise of China. Patsy Whitaker-Sawara, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Pakistan court orders authorities to free man convicted of murdering U.S. journalist. Asian migrant workers locked up, dumped as coronavirus curbs ease. Canadian police declare dissident Pakistan activist's death non-criminal matter. Casinos, COVID, or drugs? Why China is building a fence on Myanmar border. Hong Kong legislator reflects on pro-democracy struggle as he seeks asylum. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. From a new bilateral economic dialogue to high-level visits by American officials and arms sales, the ties between the United States and Taiwan under the Trump administration have been ascendant. This is in sharp contrast to Washington's relationship with Beijing, which has deteriorated to its worst point in decades. State Department correspondent Nike Ching reports.
Top American officials visiting Taiwan, a signal of the Trump administration's strong support for the self-ruled democracy. A few months after that visit, the U.S. and Taiwan opened the first round of a new economic dialogue. Taiwan is America's ninth largest trading partner.
The dialogue signifies that our economic relationship with Taiwan, a vibrant democracy and a reliable partner, is strong and growing. Will help increase cooperation on everything from safe and secure supply chains to the clean and 5G security to health security and to more.
The United States in 1979 switched diplomatic recognition from Taiwan to China to counter the then existing Soviet Union. China claims sovereignty over Taiwan. Washington says its long-held One China policy is distinct from Beijing's One China principle. The U.S. takes no position on sovereignty over Taiwan. That position has not stopped China from pressing Washington over its Taiwan relationship.
China resolutely opposes any kind of official interaction between the U.S. and Taiwan. This has always been the case and is clear. We urge the U.S. to fully recognize the high sensitivity regarding the Taiwan issue.
Experts say the Trump administration appears not as concerned that its support of Taiwan could damage U.S.-China relations. It has even gone ahead to bolster Taiwan's defense by approving $16 billion in arms sales to Taiwan in the last 2 years.
The best way to ensure peace and security in the Taiwan Strait is to ensure that Taiwan national defense and security is robust and strong, and that U.S. forward deployed forces are equally robust and strong to deter China from any military action.
For Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen and U.S. President-elect Joe Biden, experts say the future carries more potential for a partnership that also enhances Taiwan's security and stability.
We really recommended doubling down our strategic discussion and cooperation with Taiwan, especially on technology issues, digital trade, 5G, and supply chains. That's critical.
November's high-level meeting in Washington was perhaps a sign of things to come, as officials agreed to collaborate on cutting-edge science and technology issues, such as 5G networks, renewable energy, and global health. Maggie Chin, VOA News, the State Department.
Happening now in Asia, Australian authorities have slightly eased coronavirus restrictions for 3 days over the Christmas holiday as a cluster of infections continue to grow in Sydney. The outbreak has prompted authorities to impose a patchwork of COVID-19 restrictions across Australia's biggest city. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. With President-elect Joe Biden set to take office January 20th, Silicon Valley is preparing itself for a new administration, while it faces pressure on several fronts, including antitrust, online speech, and digital privacy issues. Michelle Quinn has more.
My fellow citizens, I stand here today.
When President Barack Obama took office in 2009, a close relationship bloomed between Washington and Silicon Valley. Flash forward 12 years. On January 20, Obama's Vice President Joe Biden is set to become the next U.S. president. This time, however, the relationship will be different.
Even as a member of the Obama administration, I will say there was a soft spot for Silicon Valley that perhaps was more of a blind spot. I don't think you're going to see that here. I think people's eyes are wide open in this administration.
What's changed? Tech grew. It became the center of the global economy, shaping commerce, online speech, workplaces. In recent years, elected officials and activists have complained about so-called big tech over issues such as competition and digital privacy. During the presidential campaign, Biden's team criticized Facebook for misinformation on the site, and candidate Biden talked about creating an economy that worked more fairly for more people, a sign some say the president-elect will be interested in looking at tech's power. Biden might continue to scrutinize tech firms as the Trump administration, U.S. states, and congressional leaders have done over allegations of anti-competitive behavior.
We are particularly concerned about competition and the power of the largest tech platforms. And I am looking forward to more attention on those issues in the Biden administration.
For its part, the tech industry is prepared for any scrutiny it may receive.
These tech companies have gotten so big because they give customers what they want. So I'm very much mindful and appreciative of the fact, and a lot of people in America are too, I think that these companies are prepared for that kind of scrutiny, and I'm sure that they will be very forthcoming in going over all their business practices.
With a Biden administration, Silicon Valley has some things on its wish list: a national privacy law and changes in immigration rules, to name just two. Tech critics and tech itself want to get more people online, particularly in rural America. The president-elect is reportedly working with Democratic lawmakers to prepare a massive increase in federal broadband spending.
In rural America, you know, there is not even a network to connect to, right? There's not even a broadband network if you had the money to connect to, but also deal with the problem, which is frankly much bigger, of people who can't afford broadband because it's too expensive.
As the new administration comes in, all eyes will be on how the relationship between Silicon Valley and Washington unfolds. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Oakland, California.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. The Chinese government is opening an anti-monopoly investigation into online retail giant Alibaba, a move that signifies Beijing's increasing efforts to tighten control over the country's dominant technology sector. The probe looks into the company's practice of forcing its business partners to choose either Alibaba or a rival partner. You'll find more online at VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, 2020 has been defined by the COVID-19 pandemic. A disease that was not known a year ago has killed more than 1.5 million people and devastated economies worldwide. In October 2019, public health experts had ranked the United States at the top of a pandemic preparedness index. Now the United States leads the world in coronavirus cases and deaths. VOA's Steve Barragona looks back at a year of failures that brought the country to this point.
The failures began while the coronavirus was shutting down cities in China and Europe, says Georgetown University health law expert Lawrence Gostin.
We didn't prepare. We knew this was coming. We should have known. We should have been prepared. When it did hit, the first major problem that arose was testing.
The first test from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did not work. Then months of shortages, backlogs, and long waits for results let the virus get out of hand. It did not help that President Donald Trump repeatedly undermined his own health officials, says University of Michigan science historian Howard Markell.
This wasn't an administration that was used to dealing with experts, or not only not didn't appreciate them, didn't even respect them.
When CDC's experts recommended in April that everyone wear cloth masks, Trump read the announcement and then undercut it.
So it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. They suggest it for a period of time, but this is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
Masks quickly became something Democrats embraced and Republicans resisted, never mind the science. Polarized politics also muddled the difficult balance between protecting health and the economy. Trump and Republicans mostly sided with the economy. USA! Like in April, when Trump backed protests against coronavirus restrictions, but only in states with Democratic governors.
When the president of the United States urges insurrection against those measures, that's not a small thing. That is a devastating blow to the ability of our nation's leaders and public health agencies to actually fight this pandemic.
Given his opposition to prevention measures, it's perhaps not surprising that Trump caught the virus himself in late September. But it's not just leaders to blame, Gustin says.
We just seem to be, as a nation, incapable of doing the little things that would keep each other safe, like masks or distancing.
From college spring breaks in March to Thanksgiving travel in November, Americans ignoring public health warnings have kept the virus going. On the other hand, the American government has put billions of dollars into developing a coronavirus vaccine, which is now paying off, Gustin says.
And America is now in the forefront on vaccine development, along with other countries, and it could be our saving grace.
Vaccines from drug companies Pfizer and Moderna were developed faster than ever before, with others right behind them. As the year of the pandemic ends, the vaccines that may end the pandemic begin to arrive. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, despite a century of advances in design, our aircraft can still not maneuver as well as birds. To better understand bird flight, mechanical engineers at Stanford University built a robotic pigeon using real feathers, paper, and rubber bands, leading to some surprising discoveries. Matt Dibble has the story.
Pigeons, scorned and overlooked by urban dwellers around the world. But not David Lentink.
I just can't wait to see it fly.
Pigeons are actually amazing flyers. They're really underappreciated. They're very strong flyers. They fly in very complex environments. Our cities are actually really complex.
Lentink is a mechanical engineer who studies birds in order to develop better flying robots. As drones and other new forms of aircraft become common in urban environments, there is much to be learned from pigeons.
Aerial robots and drones, like for example the ones that Google and Amazon are developing for delivery, actually struggle flying in those environments, especially because it's also very turbulent and there's wind everywhere. And it turns out that pigeons have no problem with that.
To understand how pigeons do what they do, Lentink's team at Stanford set out to build one.
Every maneuver and every flight phase, there's a different shape that's best, and that's why birds change their shape all the time.
The team discovered that the complex shapes achieved by birds are possible with simple mechanics.
There's this elastic ligament that automatically redistributes the position of all the feathers as the wing moves in and out.
They also discovered what keeps feathers from spreading too far apart: microscopic hooks that work like Velcro.
It's amazing how it moves.
PigeonBot could radically change aircraft design. But first, it might turn up at your doorstep, carrying a package.
If such a robot would be incredibly soft, like a bird, you would not worry as much about interacting with it.
Call it Carrier Pigeon 2.0. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
Some made us dream with their movies. Others made us dance and filled our hearts with music. Others influenced our lives with their writing and designs. VOA correspondent Maryama Diallo reports on some of the people who passed away in 2020.
Among the movie actors lost in 2020, Sean Connery, who died at 90. The charismatic Scottish movie legend shot to international stardom playing the first James Bond.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Chadwick Boseman, another superstar, also passed away. He was 43 and was best known for his title role in Black Panther. The list also includes veteran Bollywood actor and one of India's most well-known exports to Hollywood, Irfan Khan. Two-time Oscar winner and Gone with the Wind movie star Olivia de Havilland died this year at 104. She was one of the last surviving cast members of the classic 1939 film.
Gone with the Wind was the happiest experience of my entire career.
Lost from the music world.
Rock and roll is alive forever.
Rock and roll Hall of Famers Little Richard and Bill Withers.
I remember every
Grammy winners John Prine.
Things I can't
and Kenny Rogers. An actor-singer, Rogers preferred to be known as a country singer despite his crossover music success.
I think country music is the white man's rhythm and blues. It's where the pain is.
Manu Dibango, who fused African rhythms with funk, died at 86. The Cameroon-born saxophonist was also known for his effervescent personality.
Le rire, comment dire, symphonique, j'allais dire. De
Manu Dibango's symphonic laughter. He wouldn't say a sentence without bursting out laughing. He was a man at his age of inalienable youth, unalterable, and always positive.
The sudden death of basketball legend Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter in a helicopter crash shocked the world in 2020, prompting an outpouring of grief. Another sudden loss felt around the world, Argentine soccer giant Diego Armando Maradona, who suffered a heart attack.
Ruffled hair, funky, you know, devil-may-care type of individual, fun-loving, who is just effortlessly brilliant. And that's why he was called El Pibe de Oro, the golden boy.
Franco-Japanese fashion designer Kenzo Takada died in 2020. He was known for his jungle-infused designs and free-spirited aesthetic. Three former presidents also died in 2020. Former presidents of Ghana, Jerry Rawlings, of Mali, Amadou Toumani Touré, and most recently, France's Valéry Giscard d'Estaing. Other public figures, U.S. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a legal and feminist icon, died at 87.
We must say, wake up, America, wake up.
We're going to continue to fight.
A pioneer of the civil rights movement, John Lewis, died in 2020 after serving more than three decades in the House of Representatives.
We have made some progress. We've come a distance, but we still have a distance to go.
And George Floyd, a black man whose death in police custody,
begging for his life,
sparked an uproar against racial injustice in the U.S. and around the world, was among those the world lost this year. But 2020 will also be remembered for COVID-19, which caused hundreds of thousands of people to perish as the pandemic swept across the world, shattering economies and lives. As the year drew to a close, more than 68 million people were infected worldwide and more than 1.5 million died from the illness. Maryama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
That's our program for today. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us online at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. As we come to you on this Christmas Day holiday, if you celebrate the occasion, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. If not, we hope your day is still filled with lots of joy, good health, and hope for the future. We'd like to thank those who help bring this program to you every day, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.